4. Ruth and the 4th chapter today. You remember the book of Ruth starts off with 3 deaths, 3 husbands die, and 3 widows are left to decide what they're going to do. Naomi is embittered. She is a servant of the true God, but she's embittered, and she doesn't want to be called pleasant one. She wants to be called embittered one. Just call me bitter because the Almighty had dealt with me bitterly. Orpah has decided to go back to the false gods, her family, very strong pull. I don't know if you realize it or not, but they actually walk out of the city where the decision was made. And Ruth has that tearful exhortation begging Naomi not to ask her to go back, but I'll go with you. Your God will be my God. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. That's actually past marriage, you know. It's interesting that even in her modern day that Oprah Winfrey, her name was actually Orpah, but they misspelled it. They misspelled it. And after a couple of weeks, they just let it stick. And so her name is Oprah, but it's actually Orpah. Very interesting, yes or no? It's also very interesting that she is a spiritist and not to be followed in her advice. One lady stood up in her program one time and said, there is a one true way of salvation. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. The ladies that were in the crowd there groaned in disbelief that a lady would actually stand up in this setting and offer that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but by Him. And it wasn't unkind to say that Jesus was the only way. It was kind to say that He was the only way because He is the only way of salvation. We never help people by telling lies. So we see in the book of Ruth that was almost, didn't make the canon of Scripture, if you will. Some theologian, because it focused on one lady, Naomi actually is the one it's focusing on, and Ruth is the one that the storyline goes, but actually ends with Naomi, if you will, and that God has dealt in a blessed way with her, even through all the hard times. Psalm 71 we can associate with Naomi and David at times. The psalmist says here, Psalm 71, 18 through 20, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again," that means revive us, "and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Even if I die, I'm going to be resurrected." That's why we need faith in the true Messiah. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Though He were dead, yet He lives. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Spurgeon said this, "We may feel like David or Naomi at times, O God, You have shown me great and sore troubles, but we are never to doubt God. God has the power to restore life, to allow the flows of living water out of our innermost being," that's our hearts. "We are never to think that God has forsaken us or has forgotten us due to the testing of our faith. No matter how many twists and turns the road may have, there is always one smooth, straight portion. Even the longest day has a sunset, and the winter snow may stay quite some time, but it will eventually melt. God will restore life to you if you depend upon Him." Psalm 27, verse 1 and 14. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 through 58. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And the verse goes on. Today's title out of Ruth chapter 4 is Buy, Build, Bride, Birth, and Blessed. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open up the word of truth to us today. Depend upon you right now, Holy Spirit of God, to take the word of truth and apply it to those hearts who are willing to receive it. And if our hearts came in here today and we weren't willing to receive it, we ask you to change our hearts right now. May the word be brought forth in the power of your Spirit, truth be spoken in love, and may the people here sense the presence, your presence, O Lord God. Now take over, we pray, and be glorified in our midst. And all God's people say, amen. Look at Ruth chapter 4. We're looking where Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer. He's going to buy Naomi and Ruth their property, which means that he's going to have to marry one of the widows. Naomi is past the age of bringing children, so it's going to be Ruth. And Ruth is willing to marry Boaz to help Naomi. Now, I tell you, that's love. You're willing to marry this man so this man will help your family? You know, families used to be a lot tighter than they are today. How about you? My family spread all over the place, even now. Most of my family lives in North Carolina. Well, one of my brothers, my lawyer brother, used to live in California. He's got five or six kids, and they're all over the United States, too. This is the way it goes sometimes, right? We all understand that. But back in the day, people stayed together as a family. They moved together as a family. So when Elimelech, God is my king, wasn't acting like God was his king, they ran in the famine and went to greener pastures to find out the Moabites, who actually weren't even allowed in the congregation because they didn't let Israel pass through on their land. So God pronounced the curse upon him. Ruth is a Moabitess. Seven or eight times it says, Ruth the Moabitess, Ruth the Moabitess. And that's a foreigner in the land. But a foreigner in the land who trusts God is still accepted by God. They're called Gentiles. And all God's people say, amen. I'm so thankful for that. Are the Jewish people privileged? They are. They were chosen first. But they all have to believe in the Lord. They're not automatically saved. Are you aware of that? We're to vote with them because the land's blessed and that's connected to God. But it's supposed to picture our spiritual inheritance, which is in heaven. So whenever you see the redemption of the land and these things taking place, and this story in these people's lives, it's representative of the whole nation. And by extension, it's representing of the new heaven and the new earth that believers will have through their faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a line that you can follow to the birth of Jesus Christ. 4,000 years in the making, then he was born at the exact time God the Father wanted him to be. God came into humanity at the exact time, Galatians 4:4. And now we're looking back 2,000 years ago to the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the only one who could do that work of salvation, died on the cross for our sins. After 3 days, he rose again and appeared a 40-day period, sometimes even 500 people at one time, and then ascended back into heaven and is seated by God the Father right now on the right side praying for us. Of course, God the Spirit is there as well. Folks, we don't make God. God made us. And there's only one true God. And you'll see that at the end of letters, it says God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at the end of a number of Paul's letters, by the way. And you'll understand that God is in three persons. We're looking at verses 7 through 15 today in Ruth chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 7, Ruth 4, verse 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning the redeeming and concerning changing, or to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony or a witness in Israel. And what did we find that taking off the shoe represented? Authority and ownership. So if you were going to redeem a widow and carry forth her husband's name, then you were going to have the authority in the land, the purchase of that land. If he had debts, you had to pay them. So Boaz was willing to do that, be a kinsman redeemer. This is a picture, of course, of Jesus Christ, buying us out of the slave market of sin, paying the price for us. A witness in Israel, a testimony in Israel, was going to be what Boaz did here with buying Ruth and the property there. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, because there was another one in line before him, probably an uncle or a brother of Naomi, he had the first right to buy it. He says to him about the land, if you'll buy it. Verse 8, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses today that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. So the one who had the right of inheritance, the right to be the redeemer first before Boaz, said no. He thought it would mar his inheritance. Verse 10, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon this inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of this place. Your witnesses this day, gate being the place of authority and business. Remember what Jesus said. The gate of business there was the final authority in that city. When those 10 men, a quorum of 10 men had to meet, and when they met, they discussed the business and whatever they decided in the gate, that's what would be carried out. But Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the gospel. He will build his church, and the gates, they don't have the final authority. The world doesn't have the final authority. The final authority in anything is Jesus Christ. It's his word as the final authority. Amen. That's good stuff. So always good to find out what those words mean, what that setting means, and see it be brought to life in our lives. So we have closed nations now, right? Folks, we don't have any closed nations. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay, but if you go in such and such Muslim nation, you might lose your life. You may, but it's not closed to us. The world may try to close it, but God hasn't closed it, and he's not going to close it. The command is, as you are going about, make disciples. Don't wait to go to a foreign land to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Be one and start making others one today. Every day is an opportunity to be discipling, educating, encouraging through some word of the word of God to point others to follow the Lord with all their heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Preach it and live it by the grace of God. So in verse 10, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased, he says. And then he goes on talking about the gate, as we mentioned. Verse 11, and all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Verse 12, and let thy house be like the house of Phares or Perez, we see in the New Testament, whom Tamar bare unto Judah. Oh, my soul. We were going so well until you started reading that. And of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto who? Naomi, you see. Goes back, doesn't it? And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name shall be famous in Israel. You know, it's so true. I hate to say it, even amongst Christians, and you just better get yourself prepared right now. I'm already prepared when my mother dies. You are? What are you prepared for? You guys divide it up the way you want, and if you want something left over for me, I'll take it. I've already made a decision. Amen? Yes or no? Because you let somebody die in the family, one of your relatives, and then everybody comes in and says, oh, that vanity was for me, and this mom promised me that, and I get the piano, and you know, and all this other stuff. You can just keep the whole thing. You can have it. I'm not losing one little. Of course, if you're poor, it's a lot easier. You know? There's not much to divide up. You know what I'm saying? Yes or no? Some of you are smiling. Some of you want to keep moving right along. This gets very close to home, doesn't it? Yes or no? Yes. Oh, yeah. But let somebody die and have debts. And where's all the vultures? Where's all the family members? What happened to this distant cousin that was showing up when, you know, the will was read thinking they're going to get something? No, they don't show up then, do they, usually? Yes or no? Leave a mess behind and you'll have very few people want to help clean it up, right? But you know, folks, Boaz wasn't that way. He was willing to marry Ruth and take all the baggage that came along. I tell you what, the Lord Jesus is willing to marry us, the body of Christ. We've sinned against the Lord so many times, we can't count. And yet His blood has washed us, every believer, washed us and made us white as snow. Got to be willing to buy. A kinsman had to be willing to buy. So we see Boaz right here is willing to step up to the plate spiritually and physically, pay all the debts due, and promises to lovingly care for Ruth, Naomi, and marrying Ruth. So he was taking Ruth, but he was getting Naomi too. It used to be when you married the whole family. Anybody ever heard that? One guy said to me, I wouldn't want to get married again. I said, why not? He said, I don't want the in-laws anymore. Wow, I guess not. Outlaws, you mean? Yeah. Thank God I have some wonderful, I'm just my wife sitting here listening, so I just want to. No, I really have been blessed in this area too. Thank God for godly in-laws, godly father-in-law, mother-in-law. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer, a near relative who's willing to marry a widow and takes on her dead husband's debts and be the new owner of the land that he lost. He's buying the whole thing. We see that's what happens in verses 7 through 10. But look at verses 11 and 12. That's the buying part, and now here is the building. And all the people that were in the gate, verse 11, and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is coming to thine house like Rachel and Leah, which two did build, there's our next word, build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare to Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Why in the world would God throw that into the story? It's just like Joseph. You read along the book of Genesis, and here's Joseph treated cruelly by his brothers and jealousy and all this other stuff. And he tells them what dream God put in his heart, which is always dangerous. And then they're jealous of him, you know, the coat of many colors. Oh, he died. Some animal must have killed him, et cetera, et cetera. He went from the pit to Potiphar's wife to prison, you know, on and on, and then to the throne, amen, beside Pharaoh. This was God moving his heart. But right before that point, this story is thrown in Genesis 38. Let's turn there and look at it because it's important. I don't think I've ever heard it preached. Oh, we're going to read it. Wow. It's like a story you wish weren't there. Right after this, Pharaoh has his two dreams, and then Joseph is brought up. Very interesting. But right before that, Genesis 38, let us start in verse 6. Genesis 38 and verse 6. We're talking about Tamar and him, okay? Genesis 38, 6. And Judah took a wife of Er, his firstborn, whose name was, say it, Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. So does the Lord put people to death at times? Answer?
Yes.
Just reading the Bible. And Judah said to Onan, go into thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. What's God asking him to do? Come on, be a kinsman redeemer. So there is another example in the Bible of this. Let's see what happens. Verse 9. And Onan knew that the seed shall not be his, not be credited as his child, but his brother's inheritance. You know what I mean? Because it's his brother's wife. He died, of course, you know. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. What does that mean, folks? That means he was having physical relations with his new wife. Then he decided he didn't want to have children with her, so he removed himself. Can we go on from there, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, very, very educated group here today. That's wonderful. Verse 10, and the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. God killed him too. Wow. You see, folks, God is trying to picture his heart for making a kinsman redeemer to people who don't deserve it. And these two guys didn't realize God was trying to use them in a special way to picture Jesus Christ. Oh, no, I'm not marrying that woman. That's my brother's wife. And then how about Boaz? Oh, she's a foreigner. No, no, no. The other guy said, well, we don't even know who it is. Maybe Naomi's brother. Oh, no. I'll redeem it. You'll get all this land. I'll buy it. But in the day that you do, you got to marry Ruth, you know, raise up seed and take Naomi, take her for her. Oh, well, I can't do that. That would mar my inheritance. What inheritance? My spiritual inheritance. As a Jew. Because he's willing to do it physically. Oh, I like the material benefit of owning that land, yeah. But having to marry Ruth, no, 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 no. I'm not doing that. Well, that was okay with Boaz because Boaz was already a half-Jew, half-Gentile himself. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Verse 12 then. And in the process of time, Genesis 38, 12. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. I hate to say it, folks. It's not our perfect beginning that's the issue. It's ending in the perfection of Christ, all God's people say. Let's go on. You know, God's honest about stuff, isn't he? This is what happened. Verse 12. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went into his sheep shears to Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adamite. I have a hard time pronouncing some of these names on occasion. Verse 13. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnah to shear his sheep. And this is what she does. And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown, the other son, and she was not given to him to wife. Oh, okay. I'm supposed to be waiting on your next son to grow up. And he's going to marry me and bring children, but he refuses to do it. Verse 15, and Judah saw her and he thought her to be a harlot. Not a pretty scene, right? That means a prostitute. Because she had covered her face. I can't explain it, but he never saw her face. Sad. Verse 16, he turned unto her by the way and said, go, I pray thee, let come unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come into me? Physical relations of a sexual nature. And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock, and I will give thee a pledge. and on it goes. But let me just conclude the story by saying this. When he found out that she was with child, he said, bring her forth and let's put her to death. And then she said, okay, but she played the harlot. She's going to be put to death. You know, men are real quick to jump on women on this attitude, aren't they? Yes or no, usually? It takes two to tangle, by the way, just a little footnote. Anyways, and she says, well, who's this signet ring? Who's the staff? And who's it? Oh, that belongs to me. She said, well, that's the man whom I'm impregnated by. And then he said, you know, you were actually acted more righteous than me. A little taste of humility. That was really good to see. So, folks, what happened to the son? Let's go back to Ruth chapter 4. What happened to the son that was unwilling to be a kinsman redeemer? Raise up seed to Tamar's dead husband? Answer, God killed him. God put him to death. But you know what? She had two sons out of that incestuous relationship, adulterous relationship, children of fornication. By the way, I don't like this term. Illegitimate children. You know who's illegitimate? The people having sex outside of marriage are illegitimate, not the kids. But what it means by illegitimate is that the people weren't married before the children came. And in our society today, let us be very careful. We're trying to minister to some kids now. Probably all of them weren't born in the marriage relationship, just to let you know. Maybe there's some in our congregation who weren't born in a married relationship. You know what, folks? There's all kind of different beginnings here in this congregation, like there is in every other congregation. And it's not where we start, my friends. It's where we go. Are we going to go toward God? Or are we going to go away from God? And all God's people say, amen. You want to go toward God. Boaz did that. Ruth did that. Naomi, after her bitterness, did it too. Naomi was a true believer, but she was embittered because she didn't understand what God was trying to do in her life. Now, any of us like that? So we better go back to God. In verses 11 and 12 here, we see building a family is prophesied. Refusing to be a kinsman redeemer, Tamar was daughter-in-law to Judah, and her husband died. The other brother wasn't willing to raise up godly seed. God killed him. Judah essentially said, wait until my younger son grows old enough and he can be your kinsman redeemer. But later, Tamar's two illegitimate sons by Judah were very fruitful in procreating children and having those children build a home that honored God. Why does God write things like this in the Bible? Because he didn't have anything better to do. That's one option. No. There's always some reason why God records what he's recorded. By the way, did you know that not all the miracles in the Bible are recorded that Jesus did? But the ones that are recorded are so that we would believe that he's the Son of God. He did a lot more miracles, just to let you know. But here it is, in 1 Corinthians 10:11, why God includes a story like this. Now all these things happened to them for in samples, not examples, in samples. And they are written for our admonition, encouragement, and warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come, 1 Corinthians 10:11. In sample is different from example, which is a pattern. In sample means to strike with a die, to make an imprint. The things recorded in the lives of these biblical characters, which are real people, are meant to leave a lasting impression or imprint on our souls. So pay attention to the Word of God. Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. It says, that the Lord will make the woman that is coming to thy house like Rachel and like Leah. Out of Jacob, his two wives, Rachel and Leah, and plus two concubines, we won't have time for that one today, came the 12 tribes of Israel. Does that sound like a perfect beginning to you? Yes or no? No. So they're praying. These people are praying, let Ruth also be fruitful and bear children that will help build the house of Israel. Boaz, they prayed, let him stay here in Ephrathah and continue to build an honorable business in Bethlehem. And he's going to be famous, verse 11, so that he'll be famous. Famous means to be remembered for some good work that helped build up the lives of other people. What do you want to be remembered for? I hope one of those things is that you'll be remembered for being a faithful lover of God. What do you want to be remembered for? People do all kind of crazy things so that they'll be remembered for something. Well, you'll be special enough if you're remembered for being a lover of God, I can tell you that. You'll be very special then, because there's not too many of them in the world. If everybody in this congregation today had a heart for God and loved God, we would be so small in comparison to the rest of the world. You want to be special? I got to tell you, one way to be special is to become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and you'll be so unique and different from the world, they won't know what to do with you. It's true. Verse 12, one of her sons, Tamar's sons, out of this relationship. Wow. They're praying, verse 12, and let the house be like the house of Perez or Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So what are they saying? Well, he didn't exactly have the best beginning. Oh, hey, Perez, yeah, you know, my mom and father-in-law, and that's how we came to be. Can you just see him in the public square, school, whatever it may be? Who are your parents? Oh. How about a Father's Day card? Kind of painful, yes or no? So folks, we've got to open up our heart to people and be a minister of Jesus Christ to people. A lot of mess out in the world. So when people come to the house of God, let them know, I love you, I'm here to build you up. Don't live in sin, live for Him, the Lord, amen? So Perez here, Matthew Henry says, was one of the sons born to Tamar after Judah had physical relations with her. He and his house settled in Bethlehem and were historically honored for having a character that was described as being loyal and courageous in serving the nation. His two sons became great leaders of men as well. He is in the family line of the King of David, who is in the family line of Jesus Christ, Perez. But Perez, like Boaz, didn't let an unusual bad past concerning their mother stop them from seeking the Lord's honor in their own life. I said it at least twice, so I'll say it again. It's not how we start in life, it's who we become as we depend upon God through faith in Jesus Christ. Is your highest prize in life that you could attain a likeness to Jesus Christ? If it's not, it should be. Because that's the biblical pattern. The highest prize that you could ever attain is a likeness to Jesus Christ. And then let us be reminded of why the purpose of children in the first place. Psalm 127, 1 through 5. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awaketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and set up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Behold, or lo, children are an inheritance or heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. I understand that seven in this context. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That's what you want. In Malachi 2:15, men were easily divorcing their wives, and God was not happy with them. And he says this, because marriage is, one thing about marriage is relational, relationship. People's hearts are engaged. Their lives are intertwined with one another. But these men were just easily divorcing their wives and getting another wife. God wasn't happy with that. Malachi 2:15. And did not he make one? Yet hath he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? Why did God make two into one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Just don't get rid of your wife for any old reason. One reason God gives a woman to a man in marriage is to raise up a godly seed, have children that will honor God as well. That's the goal. They prayed that Ruth would be fruitful privately in the home, building the children. And they prayed that Boaz would be fruitful publicly outside of his house and business, blessing others by being a righteous boss, which he already was. They just prayed that he would continue to do that. And you remember that Boaz prayed for his workers. He said, hey guys, remember, you're in the presence of the Lord today. I just wonder if it'd be a little different if in our home and in our work and while we're driving, I was doing okay till you said that. While we're driving, sitting here today, that we're in the presence of the Lord. We are in the presence of the Lord all the time. But do we recognize it? While we're going through some heartache, some sorrow, what do we just acknowledge? Lord, I know you're here with me, and you're never going to leave me nor forsake me. We're going to be ministering to some kids soon. The Lord put this in a couple of hearts, and Bonnie, and Bonnie's always causing trouble. But anyways, I just wanted that for good. You know, most of the time it's for good, right, Bonnie? For this, I know your family's here today. I had to throw that zinger in there. So anyways, you owe me one now, Bonnie. Hey, we're going to bring you some kids in here. They may not even know who Dad is. Think about it. An opportunity. Will it make a difference in your life if you realize you were in the presence of the Lord all the time? It does make a big difference. It makes a huge difference. Look at verse 13. So we went from buy to build and now bride. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. And when he went into her, that's consummating the marriage. Everyone understand what we're talking about? Say amen. And the Lord gave her conception and she bare a son. Now, we just zipped through about 9 months in a couple sentences. Things can happen fast when God's on the move. And they did. You know, I like the innocence of children. May God help us to keep it that way as long as we can. A friend of mine was discussing with his 12-year-old boy the birds and the bees, and the 8-year-old boy walked in. And the 12-year-old boy said, so, Dad, when mommy had us, do you have to be married, you know, for kids? And the 8-year-old said, ha, 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 ha. He said, you are so stupid, said it to your brother. You know you can't have kids till you're married. Our dad told us that. You get married, then you have kids. You said, that's the way it is. Wouldn't that be great if everyone was? He just went off. Nobody corrected him. Yep. Okay, good. See you later. Talk to you later. Proverbs 18:22. I hope you feel this way about your wife, men. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attaineth favor of the Lord. Wow. Spiritual birth happens when you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sins, was dead 3 days, and after 3 days he rose again from the dead. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God is going to picture through this natural birth, spiritual birth. Why? They're working on redemption in the land. God's working redemption of the people to himself in the eternal land called the new heaven and the new earth. You remember one of the names in Solomon's magnificent temple that he built, all that gold, it's past numbering. One of the names that Solomon, when he would walk up those stairs into that temple, he'd see Boaz written on the right side. Remember Boaz, what he did to help build the nation. Pretty good. That's why we need to know history. of our own nation would be good too. And I don't mean this conjured up baloney that they've tried to reinvent in our society underneath the wickedness of former president. I'm talking about the truth, one nation under one God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? Can we get an amen on that? Got to go back to why we were really established in the first place. Blessing. Verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed, say something good of the Lord. When's the last time you did that? Blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Some commentators think that the name to be famous is God's name. But through Boaz, the name of the Lord is to be exalted. That ought to be a good goal for our life, that the name of the Lord will be praised through our life. God born into mankind, kinsman, man, a redeemer. Jesus came into humanity so he might pay all of our sin debts against God and load us daily with the benefits of being his future spiritual bride. Let me ask you this. Who was Jesus paying when he paid the price with his own blood to set us free? He's paying the Father. Wasn't paying the devil. We don't owe the devil anything. Zippo, zero with the rim rubbed out. If you've given your life to serving Satan in any way he wants, just remember this, you don't owe him anything. And the very moment you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn your face to God and turn your back on the devil. And all God's people say, amen. But Jesus didn't pay with silver like Boaz did. Jesus paid with his own blood. The redeeming price of freedom was his own precious blood. I like the song. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. I like that a lot. He came to seek his bride, but notice this line. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. And that's the difference, folks. And men, let me just say this. If you want to be like Jesus Christ, give yourself regularly, on a regular basis, to serve your wife, and you'll be picturing God on the move. How about adopting children? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Well, we're all adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. We don't have it by natural inheritance either. Don't you love that, folks? Ephesians 1, 3, and 7. Blessed, say something good of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption, price paid, through his blood. What is it? It's the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Why? Because he loves us. That's it. The verse goes on to say, so that we might live to the praise of the glory of his grace, both now and forever. Matthew Henry, in conclusion, I'll read this and we'll have to close, makes a statement here about God's redemption. God saw a suitable price that could be paid for us, the blood of his only begotten Son. And so God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. The gospel says you've been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20, 7:23, Acts 20:28. God purchased us with his own blood, called a people to himself through the blood. The heavenly song praises Jesus, Revelation 5:9. You purchased for God with your blood men from every ethnic group, every nation. As Jesus faced his own death, he spoke this. His blood was shed for many for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, Matthew 26:28. The Bible says, behold, the kindness and the severity of God. The anger of God and the goodness of God at the same time. Yeah, you see those on the cross. God didn't hold anything back. For instance, God's severity to judge sin demands that a price must be paid. This redemption or buying of freedom is ours by the virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. He paid the price for us which we could not pay or give in exchange for our own souls. Build, the buying, build, bride, birth, and bless. I made a mistake one time. I make a mistake every now and then. Don't tell anybody. But we were having a practice ceremony before the marriage, you know. And I just printed up real fast. And I printed on there, who gives the bribe? I had to correct that before the ceremony. Who's paying off this guy to marry this woman, you know? That's terrible. How many of that makes you real popular as a minister? It's terrible, man. Like, oh, my face turned red. I tried to... Somebody pointed it out. Wow, that was embarrassing. Build. Jesus paid the price. He's willing to build our lives. We're going to become part of that bride of Christ. You must be born again, the birth, and then you'll be truly blessed of God. Some men leave their inheritance because that's all they have. And some men go to it. Let us leave behind this. As one author put it, the romance of redeeming love. It's a beautiful thing how Boaz loved Ruth temporarily in the land for that picture. Willing to pay all her debts and draw them to himself. Naomi as well benefits from the love of her daughter-in-law better than seven sons. We'll look at this next week, Lord willing, or actually 2 weeks from today. And the thought that transforms my heart and mind, no matter what state I'm in, emotionally, socially, financially, whatever it may be, is this redeeming thought. Jesus loved me and he gave himself for me. It always straightens me out. Can you say that out loud with me? Is that your personal testimony? Jesus loved me and he gave himself for me. Now that's redeeming love. Psalm 107 and verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. What do we owe Satan? You don't owe him anything. What do we owe the Lord? Everything. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word of truth today. If there's anyone in our midst today who has not believed on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for their salvation, may they receive that free gift today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.